I want to deal now with the emotions. And the emotions certainly are not bad, but the problem is that they'll lie to you. So what am I going to do with my feeler? Second thing I want to deal with in this lecture is, how can I know when Jesus is living through me as opposed to when I take over and cut him out of the picture? Can I know that? Can I know exactly when I do it? Can I know when he's living through me and when I'm just doing it myself? How can I know that? That's pretty critical. Wouldn't you agree? All right, so in order to communicate this, we'll tell a story. Here is a bear, B for bear, and you're living up in Alaska. And this is a man-eating bear. He is 8 feet tall, and he weighs 600 pounds. And he ate one of your friends about a month ago and just left his boots and his belt buckle. So he's really mean. Now, he hadn't anything to eat since he ate your friend, and he has spotted you, and so he is now running toward you. It's going to take him about 10 seconds to cover that distance. Now, according to the size of your earth suit, you're either about to become a meal or an hors d'oeuvre for this bear, right? Now, let's give you an eye here on your earth suit so you can see the bear. And the sunlight now bounces off the bear through the eye, which is simply a lens, up the optic nerve to the brain, where you get a printout of that stimulus object running toward you. Now then, mind and emotions have been sitting here watching TV. And so mind now is the first one that will be activated. That's where your perception is going to take place, right? And so mind will activate a data retrieval system to bring up selective data out of the memory banks in the brain in order to analyze this situation. Now, there's all kinds of material in your brain about bears, like bears hibernate in winter, you know. You gonna bring that one up? You don't need that, man. Only relevant information, see? So you bring up stuff like, bears are meat eaters, I'm made out of meat. Climbing a tree is an option, but bears do that better than people do, he'd eat me in the tree. Throw that out. Running is an option, but bears run faster than people run. However, that would give me more time to exercise more options, right? Okay. Now, you look over here and you see a little cabin. And this cabin is a mystery to you because you're a stranger around here. You've never seen it before, all right? But mine says, maybe I could run into that cabin, and maybe I'd be safe there. So you see, all of these are recommendations that are passed along to Will, suggesting options to Will. Remember now, Will is the one that's got to make the choices. Now let's go over and check in on emotions here. Now, emotions are capable of generating all kinds of emotion for different stimulus situations with bears. For instance, at the Oklahoma City Zoo, you might generate sympathy. Oh, I feel so sorry for those bears. I feel like every bear ought to be able to eat at will, you know. Whoever Will is. Okay. You're not going to generate sympathy today. The only emotion you're going to generate is F for fear. On a 1 to 10, that's a 14, right? Now then, that is your motivation. See, your emotions are a great motivator. And so, this is passed along to Will very quickly, and it goes like this. I feel like that bear is going to eat me alive, and it's a 10. I feel like if I don't hook it on and make rapid decisions, it'll be too late. So you see, emotions motivate, will. Tremendous motivator. Okay? So, thanks a lot, brother. Man with a servant's heart there. Thank you, Bill. I was just wishing somebody would do that. All right, now, do you see then that will, under the influence of these two computer analysts, will quickly choose to tell brain to command muscles to propel a suit into cabin? Right? Now then, this cabin is built like a fort. It's made out of railroad ties bolted together like that fence you guys are building out there. Even the roof of it's made out of railroad ties bolted together. It's like it's made out like armor. Only it's got vines all over it so that you can't tell it. And when you run inside, it's dark, so you can't really see. It's got one little window with no glass in it, a very small window. You run in there and you slam the door, which is made out of bridge timbers as thick as a tape recorder. And you drop a huge wooden bar into a cradle behind that door. And when that bar drops, you now are safe in the cabin. The split second that you lock that door, that bear brads his nose on the door. He was just that close to getting you. And he puts his head up here. His head is so big he can just get one eye at a time to the window. So. He sees you in there, he smells you, and he just goes crazy because you've gotten away. And he begins to try to rip and tear and reach through, you know, to get you. Now, you can relax. I'm not going to let him in. I have made you safe in the cabin. So, you see, this is the truth. Truth about this little story is you are safe in the cabin, but you don't know it. Knowing you're safe is a function of the mind, and you don't know that yet. You haven't had enough experience with the cabin yet. So, if I'm a fly on the wall looking at you in the cabin, this is what I'm going to see. You're going to be plastered to the back corner of the cabin awaiting your doom, which is never going to come, see, because you're safe. But do you see that you could die of a heart attack in the cabin with your safety and it wouldn't do you any good at all? Do you see that? Why? Well, we'll continue to go ahead and explain that. But let's just suffice to say for right now, here's what's happening to you. Feeler is literally screaming out, "I feel unsafe." At level 10. Mind, then, is being heavily influenced by feeler. Mind says, well, since I feel that way, I believe it's true. I believe I'm going to get eaten alive by a bear. And that's an 8. I believe it. So what chance does will have? Zippo. See, will chooses to tell brain, to tell muscles, to act like a woman who's about to get eaten by a bear. And that's why you're plastered to the wall. Now, the critical variable in my little story is time. With the passage of time, step 2 is going to take place. Now, step 2 is, hey, why I believe that I'm safe in this cabin. Well, I believe that. Why, a bear's not going to get in here and get to me. Now, you all with feeler flesh, it'd take you maybe 3 hours and 15 minutes to get to that point. You all without feeler flesh, you know, with your feeler stuck way up there somewhere, you'd arrive at this conclusion maybe after 15 minutes. See, different strokes for different folks, okay? Now, what is this, I believe? Well, that's faith. That's what that is. That's faith, pure and simple. Now, it's not Christian faith. It's cabin faith. See, it's faith in the cabin and its ability to meet my needs right now. Now, you know, you've probably heard this, but maybe I say it a little different from what you heard. But You walked in here and you looked at the chairs and you said, the chair will hold me up. I believe it. Based upon your belief, you acted on your belief. You sat down in the chair. And sure enough, it held you. What if the chair had collapsed? Well, it wouldn't be the fault of your faith. It'd be the object of your faith. The chair let you down. Faith was all right. You just placed your faith in a faulty object. You agree with that? All right, Christian. Who is the object of your faith? The Lord, right? The Word, the Holy Spirit, etc. That's the object of our faith. One of the big lies in Christianity today is that you need more faith. You don't need more faith at all. You need to take your Mickey Mouse faith that you got, you know, to every man is given a measure of faith. You need to take the measure of faith and apply it, put it in a great object, the Lord. Let it be His problem. See? You just act on the object and trust the object that He's going to do what He says He'll do. Doesn't that put the monkey on his back? Okay. Now then, if I look into this cabin now, this is what I'm going to see. Oh, I'm so grateful that I'm safe. Oh, I'm so grateful for this cabin. But look at you. So you're still plastered to the wall. How come? Well, because you see, faith here is a function of the mind. It's belief. And your faith in the cabin is about a 2. You still feel unsafe at level 10. So what are you choosing to do with your will? Are you choosing to go with your feel or with your faith? Which? With your feel. Could you choose to go with your faith? Yes or no? Sure you could. Sure you could. But it only has 1/5 the strength of the feel. So you'd have to just get hold of your old will switch and go, wouldn't you? Could you do that, Christian? Sure you could. Sure you could, you see. But now this lady here, she doesn't know that yet. And so you see what she's doing. She's going with how she feels instead of with what she believes. Do you see that she could still die of a heart attack shift in the cabin with her faith? What good would her faith do her, gang? And she's still going to die, right? Even with her faith, she's going to die. You see that? That's what the Word would call faith without works. You might as well not even have it, Max. Doesn't do you a bit of good. Faith without works is dead faith. You know what it says in James? Yeah. Now, I have people coming into me, and they say, Bill, I just can't get saved. I've just tried and tried and tried to get saved. I can't get Jesus to come in. I even gave up smoking one time for 3 weeks. Tried to get Him to come in. I laid my hands on the TV set. He wouldn't come in. What's the problem with this dear person? He wants to feel saved. He wants to feel Jesus come in. That's what he wants. He wants to feel saved. You know what? I don't know of a single scripture in this book that says you'll feel saved. It ain't in there that I know of. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, not feel saved. But see, we talk about it all the time. Feel, 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 feel. See? That's what we talk about all the time. When a guy gets saved, one of the first things a lot of naive people do is stick a microphone under his nose and say, now tell the folks how you feel. You tie it right to the feeler. So what happens 3 weeks from Wednesday when the feeler goes away? Then sin tells him he's lost. See? And he believes that. And he just punches his hold button and he just blinks the rest of his life. Pretty tragic. Now, let's just take a little straw poll in here. Now, I'm satisfied that some of y'all got some really zingy feelings when you got saved, you know. How many people in here, you came under conviction, and when you invited Christ into you, you actually felt Him come in? You felt something. Okay? Raise your hand bones. Let's see them. Straight up there, way up there. Come on up. All right, hands down. Now, how many of you, you too came under conviction, you knew you were lost and so forth, and you prayed to receive Christ, but you did not feel anything? Let's see your hand bones. Up high. Well, y'all are lost. That's what you're proud of. Did you get their names, Max? Did y'all see that? It's just about 40-60, wasn't it? Something like that. See, different strokes for different folks. And I'll go to another crowd and say that same thing. It'd be 60-40, 50-50. It just computes out that way every time I ask that question. And I do it for emphasis, you see, to emphasize that you cannot depend on your emotions as the criterion for whether or not you really got Christ. You depend on the Word of God and your faith. That's what you depend on. All right? Did He say He'd come into me if I'd invite Him in? Did He or didn't He? And hey, it ain't like joining the Rotary Club, right? You know, I guess I'll try Him for a while. You know, if I don't, I'll check out next week. It's more like getting married, see? It's, I mean it. I really mean this, sir. With your teeth gritted, see? I mean it. I want you. Now, if I open up, what does He promise He'll do? Promises He'll come in, right? So He either is in there, He's a liar, because I opened. See, it's by faith and by the Word. That's the way you know. And then as you begin to life it out, God begins to give you more and more evidence that you really are this new person that we've been talking about for these few days. All right, now, with the passage of time, step three will take place. Now, step three is what the King James calls works. That's simply behavior or performance. That's what works means. Action, activity, performance. Now, here I am, plastered to the wall. Or here you are. We put you in there, didn't we? Here you are, plastered to the wall. Finally, you're going to come to this point where you're going to say, now, this is crazy. That bear cannot get in here. And here I am with shaky knees, sweaty palms, dry mouth, heart palpitations. I'm going to have some kind of an attack. Get off this dumb wall and sit down and relax and get your act together before you die of a heart attack here. See? So you force yourself off the wall and you sit down. You say, now shake it out. Plug up your ears. Quit listening to that dumb bear. Close your eyes. Put your mind down on Lake Texoma, crappie fishing, where nothing ever happens. Just relax. If you fish like I do, then breathe deeply. Relax. Unclench your jaws. Let them sag. Let your tongue sag. It's a good way to go to sleep. You wake up in the middle of the night. Do that. Really. It works. Don't do it now. You've done it. Okay. Relax. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, you are attempting to live like a safe man. You are acting safe. Is that right? Question. Are you a phony? That's right. According to the devil, yes, you're a phony. Because you're attempting to act contrary to how you feel. See? But according to the Word of God, you are lining up your behavior on the truth by your faith. It's called walking in the light in the Word of God. See? And you do this all the time with that kind of a routine. You know, you calm yourself down before a test, you know, so, now, come on, get a hold of yourself. Relax. Now, come on. Be cool. You do that. See? You're just trying to snow your feeler, is what you're doing. But you see, you are acting on what you believe, aren't you? Sure, you do it all the time. All right, now then, if you do it long enough, the last thing to line up will be your feeler. Finally, I feel. Let's see. Say fur. Sort of. In other words, you will never, ever be able to gain total control over your feeler. Never. God made you where you couldn't. Because He doesn't want you to walk by feel. He wants you to walk by faith. Now, let me prove it to you that you can't gain control of your feeler. Jesus couldn't control His emotions when He lived on planet Earth. He's out in the garden and He's praying before the crucifixion. Remember? And the Word says that His earth suit sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Is that right? What was His feeler doing on a 1 to 10 if His earth suit was sweating great drops of blood? It's 14, see? Your earth suits never sweat blood. How anxious was He feeling on a 1 to 10? 42. And let's say I go out to, and I see Him there. I say, now, sir, excuse me, but could I interview you here? Yes, what do you need? Seems like to me you're anxious about this whole thing. Seems like to me you've lost your peace over this whole episode. And you know what he'd say? Oh, no, Bill. Well, I've got perfect peace. I have peace that passes understanding. In other words, you can't understand the peace I've got. Humans don't understand the kind of peace I've got. Because the peace I've got is not a peace of feel. It's a peace of mind. It's knowing something. Knowing it. I know my Father has everything under control. I know it. I can't get the message to my feeler, but I know it. He and I sat down and figured it all out before I ever came here. I've read the last chapter in the book, We Win. But I'm not too excited about tomorrow. In fact, I dread it. In fact, I've been talking to my Father about it and asking Him if we couldn't switch to Plan B. Fact is, I've asked Him three times, and I'm not getting any answers. It's like He's out to lunch. And you know why I know that? Because if He had asked Him one time and got an answer, He wouldn't have asked Him twice, because that would have been rebellion. Wouldn't it? How many of you ever get silence when you pray? And it's just like God is out to lunch. I mean, you just it's like He's gone. What? You mean I'm the only one in here? You rascals, you? Of course you'd get silence. Don't you tell me that. I don't want you to disciple me, man. What you got going for you? He got silence. Didn't he? He got silence. It's a very normal part of the Christian walk. God will remove the awareness of His presence from you. Now, did I say He'd remove Himself from you? Oh, no. Oh, no. But the awareness, anything you've got that's tangible that you can hang on to that says, you know, God is there. There are times that He will remove that where all you'll have is just the Word, just faith. That's all you got. You just got to suck it up and keep on trucking, knowing that He is going to be a light at the end of that tunnel. I mean, have you ever been there? That's hard, isn't it? But what's it like when you finally break out on the other end? Would you trade it for anything in the world? No, because it made you strong as garlic, see? And you get to where you don't feel it. I mean, you don't fear anything. See, because you think, hey, he's going to take me through. I'm going to be cool. Everything's fine. Isn't that right? Sure it is. You know that's right. Okay, that's one of the purposes of trials. All right, now, so let's leave that 1, 2, 3, 4 thing. Well, suffice it to say that the only way on God's earth that you're going to get victory as a Christian over the flesh is to follow a 1, 2, 3, 4 process. You've got to start with truth, believe it, and then line up your action and rain on your feeler. See, if it lines up on the truth, praise God, that's fringe benefit. If it doesn't line up on the truth, rain on it. Keep on going anyway. Thank you, God, you got a problem. You got to deal with my feeler. Thank you, God. Boy, I'm glad I don't have that problem. Thank you, sir. Keep on trucking. All right, now let's move over here into this arena and use that same 1, 2, 3, 4 about how can I know when Jesus is living his life? Well, let's start with the same number one, the truth. Only we're not going to start with a cabin. We're going to start with the Word of God. Now, we've been talking about stuff like Galatians 2:20, Colossians chapter 3. You know, these verses we've been talking about here about our identity in Christ. Okay? Now, those are true because they're in the Word of God. But over here, it was true that this lady was safe in the cabin. She didn't even know it. So what good did it do her? None. She died with her safety. Similarly, there are millions of Christians that die every week and go to heaven, and they never have discovered the truths that we've been talking about today. So what good did it do them? Zippo. See? And look, gang, these are not for heaven. I mean, you don't need them when you get to heaven. These are earth verses, aren't they? This is for our victory. I don't need them there. I need them here. All right? So, we started with truth. Now then, let's go to step two. What's that? Faith. Well, I wonder if you've got enough faith to make this thing fly. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Yes or no? Okay, you got enough faith. You made it. Yes, sir, Bill. I believe. I believe all that stuff about being co-crucified and stuff. I don't understand it, and I doubt if you do either. But I believe it. Well, fine. You do well, brother. Over here was a lady, and she believed she was safe also in the cabin. What good did it do her? None. She still died of a heart attack. Because she wasn't acting on her faith. Right? And similarly, I talk to people. Oh, yeah, we know all about that Galatians 2:20 stuff. We studied that in a January Bible study back when I was in the 8th grade. Mm-hmm. I think I still got the book at home there somewhere with the pictures in it. And you get around them, and you talk to them, and you interact with them, and they don't know sick them. They don't know sick them. That's just words with them. They don't even more. They have not the most elementary understanding of what we've been talking about today. And I'm talking about some really dedicated, committed Christian people. But they don't know how to make this thing fly. I'm not being critical of them. Don't you hear that? Okay, I've committed my life to letting the Lord use me to communicate these things to the body of Christ. All right, now, let's go on then to step three. What is step three? Step three is performance, isn't it? So, step three then is simply, well, if it's all true, then Gillum, why don't you live like it's all true in you? Act like it. Act like it's true. You mean, Gilla, you're telling me that since all of this is true, I'm just supposed to act like Jesus is my life?
Just act like Christ is mowing the lawn through me and bagging the grass. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why, Bill, if I tried that, God would strike me dead. Because I'd just be faking it. You're just trying to get me to just fake it. What you're trying to get me to do, that's exactly what I'm trying to get you to do. Just fake it. But wait a minute. Would you be pretending that something's true that isn't true? Or would you be pretending something's true that is true? Which? And I think they call that obedience in the Word. Don't they? Now, some of you sitting there looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I don't blame you. I'm looking back at you the same way. Take it to the Lord. Test the spirit of this man that's talking to you. See if I be of God or if I'm from the devil trying to lead you astray. That's your responsibility. Check me against the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit, right? That's your responsibility to do that. I'm saying to you, this is the most liberating stuff that will liberate you from walking after those grungy old green highways in your brain if you'll appropriate these things we're discussing. All right? Now, if you walk that way long enough, then finally your feeler will begin to get more into the act. Sort of. Kind of. So you won't ever be able to control your feeler. God won't let you because He doesn't want you to walk by feel. All right. Now, the Word of God says that I am to cast my burden on the Lord, and He will sustain me. Is that right? I'm to cast my burden on the Lord, and He will sustain me. Well, here's a little lady, and her burden today is eggs to be cooked. And her hubby likes his eggs over easy. And if she breaks them, man, it starts the day off wrong at their house. So she wants to, so this is her burden today. Now, cast your burden on the Lord. Is that an option or a command? It's a command. See, it's like the general saying to the private, get in the Jeep. It's a commandment. You're supposed to give it to God, right? Well, what is her method going to be for cooking eggs? Well, she's going to do it herself. How come? Well, because God's too busy to mess with eggs. I mean, I don't bother Him. Why, He's worried about the economy. You know, He's trying to figure out who's going to be president next. And He's worried about the energy crisis. And my soul, we got to get this big building up here at OU so we can solve this problem. And so forth. Oh, he's awful worried. He just eats those Rolaids by the ton, man. So I'm not going to worry him about cooking eggs. Right? Wrong. I mean, right. That's the way most people think, isn't it? But how should we think? He's extremely interested in egg cooking. Now, what does she want? She wants unbroken yolks. And what does she get? Unbroken yolks. And now what does the flesh have to say about this little cooking routine? Oh, I tell you. I'm telling you, I did it right. This day is going to be all right, see. And so she brings in her cooking to her hubby, you know, sets it down. Now, this is what I call fish hook love. It goes like this. See, now, hubby, I've done something nice for you. Now, then, I want you to do something nice for me today. See, it's always got strings attached to it. It's always, the motivation is always, I need to get my needs met. Now, what does she want from her husband? Tender, loving care. She wants to be loved, not sex. Bag the grass. That's what she's wanting, see? She wants to be loved. She wants to be treasured. She wants him to open the door for her and, you know, and take her out once a month and away from the kids. And that she wants. And so she's, Her motivation is fish hooky. See what I'm saying? That ain't Christ. That's the flesh. Now then, what's God have to say about her egg cooking? F. Now, Lord, let's be reasonable about this thing. Let's sit down and talk this thing over. Now, I know my husband's got high standards. In fact, I've always said that he has higher standards than you've got, really, for eggs and other things. But now, Lord, I don't believe I've ever cooked any better-looking eggs than those. They're perfect. How are you going to give me an F? Looks like at least be a B+. And he says, well, hon, you misunderstand. I'm not looking at your results to grade you. I'm looking at your method. And you flunked before you ever cracked the shells. You flunked. Because your method was wrong. Your method was independence instead of dependence. See? I love dependency. I despise independence. But you see, here on this planet, we rear our people to be independent. See, I don't need anybody. I'll do it my way, just like old Blue Eyes sings the song, right? And I want my boy to be quarterback at OU, and the coach ain't going to send any plays in to my boy. You know, he'll run that baby by himself. See, macho. I'll do it. Isn't that the way we do it? And we're even raising our women that way now. You know, well, women, first woman quarterback coming up 10 years from now, my prophecy here at OU. Throw with either hand. And going to be 8 feet 2 inches tall. Okay. Let it be remembered that it was said here. All right. Do you see then that it's her method that he's flunking her on? So God is grading her pass fail. See, it's pass, do not pass again, Les. See? Because he's grading on the method, not the results. All right? So she comes to a seminar and she hears these truths and she grabs them and appropriates them. And so tomorrow, everything's different. Got the same problem. Eggs to be cooked. But oh boy, new method. Christ is going to cook them through me. Oh Lord, I'm just trusting. Now remember, sir, Charlie doesn't want them broken. Oh, good job. Yes, Lord. Oh, good job. Yes, oh, so far so good. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing it now. You know, over easy. Good going. Good going. Oh, thank you, God. Unbroken eggs. Oh, how wonderful. And what's the flesh say? Oh, yes. See, I finally learned now how to let Jesus live through me. Finally, oh, why didn't I learn 10 years ago? Could have saved all these headaches. I've really got it made now. And God says, yes, yes, you have. You know, I give you A, you know, give you P for pass. But we got one major problem. You're looking at the unbroken yolks. And that is what you're using as a criterion for believing that Christ really did it. You're walking by sight. And I've got to break you from sucking eggs. You're blowing it. I want you to walk by faith, not by sight. So he's going to let those eggs turn out right for 2 or 3 weeks in a row to get her off the launching pad. Okay? Okay, so here we go. About 3 weeks later, same burden, eggs to be cooked, no sweat, 2 great eggs coming up. See? Now look, she's going to do the best she can. It's not going to be like this, you know, wham, into the skillet, see? Would that not be testing the Lord? That'd be like lying down out here in the freeway and saying, now, God, you promised, you know, your angels would protect me. He'll let a truck run flat over you. That's what he'll do. See? That's those snake handlers over on the East Coast, you know. That's it.
So he'll let you crash, you know, if that's what you're going to. He'll let you test him like that. All right, so she's going to give it her best shot. How hard is she going to try to ease those eggs in the skillet? 100%. Give it her best shot, see? But she's trusting not I, but Christ. Christ, through me, is cooking the eggs, see? Okay, same method, same desire, but uh-oh, the eggs break. Broken eggs. Now what will sin say? Flunk. I failed. See, indwelling sin will accuse her of taking over and doing it herself. The thoughts will come from him like this. Why, I thought that I was letting Jesus live his life. But apparently I wasn't, because the eggs broke. So I took over. But I don't know where I took over, because I thought I was letting him. So the tragedy is, I don't even know how to go back and start over, because I thought I was doing it. You ever been there? He says, oh, you didn't take over. I broke the egg. I let it break to teach you to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, how does that apply to OU? Well, let's say you're taking an exam. Now, if you just go in there and sit down, okay, Lord, take over. You do it through me. Baloney. That's testing God. See, that's cracking the eggs from 3 feet over the skillet. See? You give it your best shot. You're diligent in your preparation, but it isn't that you're preparing and then he's going to help later. He's in you in the preparation time. See? God, I'm trusting you to file these things into my little brain. I'm trusting you, God. You're my life. Moment by moment, see? Now, here you walk into the room. Thank you, God, as you sit down. Oh, Lord, boy, I'm glad I had to take this test. Thank you, God. Oh, it's so neat to trust you. Yes, Lord, yes. Well, thank you, God. I don't know about that. What do you think? Well, I believe you're right. Okay, scrub them out. In other words, take the test like you normally take a test, but by faith you believe it's him doing it. All right? You get all through. They score the test, and you get an A. What are you going to say? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Right? No question in your mind that he did it, right? But what if you get all through, and you get a D+? Now what are you going to say? I can tell you what sin will try to get you to say. I messed up. I blew it. No, you didn't. If you're going to give God the praise under the first circumstance, how come you're going to receive this condemnation on the second one? You give that to the Lord. Well, Lord, you blew that one. But, Lord, that doesn't make any difference to me. I know what the score is. I know. You just let that happen because you're going to somehow pull it out some other way. You're going to use this to conform you to Christ's image. I realize that. Thank you, God. I give you responsibility for the D+. Thank you. Lord, that's going to keep me out of dental school, but that's cool. That's fine. No sweat. That's fine. Wouldn't that be liberating to walk like that? That's the way I'm walking, troops. That puts the monkey right square where he wants it put, on him. It's completely anti-American, completely. Because the American way is survival of the fittest. The tough are going to survive, right? All right, now, Watchman Nee has made a real heavy statement. He said, all knowledge is the outgrowth of obedience. Everything else is just information. All knowledge is the outgrowth
of obedience. Everything else is information. Many of you have gotten information today. If you don't do anything with it, within a week the birds will have stolen it away. And you won't even remember what we talked about in here. You just remember, well, anyway. What are you going to have to do to convert this from information to knowledge? You're going to have to obey. You have to do something. What? You're going to have to act dead when sin tries to control your mind. You're going to have to set your mind on things above for self-image and self-acceptance. See that? You're going to have to do it moment by moment by moment. As you do it, what will happen to your information? It'll convert to knowledge. And I can come back in 6 months and interrogate you, and you'll be so different. You'll be so different. You'll stand and tell me, "Oh, Bill, you just wouldn't believe what God's doing in my life. You would not believe the victory I had when I went home over the holidays and got around my mother. And it just didn't blow me away anymore. I'm just able to let Christ just take it. Why, it's just like living in a new world." You'll tell me stories like that. See? But if you don't do this, nothing will change. Now, one more word. If you do appropriate these things, the testing time will come. And this will be very normal. This will be God. See, who was it that led Jesus out in the boonies to be tested? The devil or God? God. God led him out there to be tested. The devil did it, but God led him out there. Is that right? Now, he'll do exactly the same thing with you. It'll be this way with any plateau in the Christian life where you appropriate and step out and begin to walk in a different truth that's going to take you further with God. He'll test you. Not so he can figure out if you mean it. Remember the helicopter? Does he already know if you mean it? Does he? Who doesn't know if you mean it? Darn. I don't know if I mean it. Now, where am I going to find out if I mean it, huh? In the kitchen, man. Right? When they turn the oven on. That's where I'm going to figure out if I really mean it. And so he's going to let the devil turn the thermostat up. So fasten your seatbelt. See, it's going to happen to you. I mean, it'll seem like he's out to lunch. He's gone to Mars for vacation. You know, don't call me, I'll call you. That'll be the sign on the door. It'll feel that way. But obviously, he's not gone. It'll just seem like it. It'll seem so bad. No, it's going to get worse, gang, not better. It'll get pretty good for a while, and then all hell will fall in on you, see? Now, don't panic. I love what he was saying. It's always too early to panic. Is that what you said? On the phone yesterday, it's always too early to panic. That's great. It's too early to panic, see? Don't panic. Just say, "Well, Lord, I see what's happening. I know this is the testing time. I'm just going to keep right on trucking, putting one foot in front of the next one, believing that you're my life. I'm hiding in you. You're living through me. Thank you, sir." He'll take you through it. He will. So, this final word, and then we're going to have a prayer time. God's acceptance, then, is not performance-based, but it's Jesus-based. And he grades pass-fail. Doesn't he? If you're in Christ, you pass. If you're not, you flunk. Performance has nothing whatever to do with acceptance. But God's approval, now that's a completely different story. We've been talking about God's approval today. With the egg cooking, see? God's approval, you've got to earn that. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've got to earn it by allowing Jesus to live his life through you, moment by moment. That work is based on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And it'll pass.
the judgment seat of Christ. When the fire hits it, it'll pass, because it'll be Christ. And that's the only thing that's going to survive at the judgment seat. The other is just the flesh trying to help God. All right. This is the time for commitment now. If you were trying to lead a person to Christ, you could share with him that he was lost, a sinner, that Jesus was the answer, and so forth. Couldn't he believe you and say, "Yes, I agree with all that," and walk away lost? Sure he could. What's he got to do? He's got to appropriate. He's got to take. He's got to take Christ for his own exclusive use. He's got to take salvation for his own exclusive use. It's not enough to just believe. You got to appropriate. You all believe in marriage, but you're not married, so what good's it doing you to believe in marriage? Zippo. What are you going to have to do to make your belief in marriage any good to you? You're going to have to get you somebody and appropriate them. See? Isn't that right? Then, you see, you will be married. Similarly, you've been hearing for these few days about how you have been on a flesh trip, a lot of you. You've been on a flesh trip. You've been working for God, trying to help him do his work. And you've been clinging to a self-image that is of your own making. It's you getting your needs met on this planet, doing it your way, using the same techniques that lost people use to get your needs met. It's what you've been doing. So you're on a flesh trip, and when you stand before the lovely Jesus at the judgment seat, it's all going to go poof. Because it's based on the flesh. Now, I'm not trying to scare you at all, but to get you to see the glorious opportunity that you have. You can get it. You can believe everything I said. The Spirit can witness. Yeah, that guy's right. Yeah, it all fits. I see it. You can get up and go to that ball game, and by supper time, you won't even think about it till 10 o'clock tonight. Be gone. See? Or you can get on your knees in here this morning and appropriate. You do it like getting married. I mean, you do it with your teeth gritted. I mean it. See, it ain't like joining the Rotary Club. No casual. It won't work. You mean it. Now, can you choose with your will to mean it? Do you have control of your will? Can you go, "You're good over there, boy"? Can you do that? After you do it, can you believe with your mind that you did it and that you meant it? Can you force your mind to believe you did it and you meant it? Sure you can. And Fuzzy Nails will say, "I didn't really mean that." And what do you say? "Rain on you." "I did too." Do you see that? You can do it, Christian. You can do it. So we're going to have an opportunity to do it. All right? Now, we're all going to kneel because we don't want anybody to know who does it and who doesn't do it. So everybody's going to kneel, so just turn around and right there at your chair. And just find your spot. If you're a little crowded, just scoot over a little bit there. Close your eyes. I don't want you to say this out loud, and I want you to just whisper it or think it. But it's going to be an absolute sellout prayer time. "Dear Lord, I see what you're saying to me, sir, that when Jesus died, I died. Everything you couldn't stomach about me, you put into the lovely, innocent Jesus, and you did away with it and buried it. And, oh, Lord Jesus, when you resurrected, you brought a brand new me up in you. And I'm now a new person. I am holy. I'm righteous. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for such an identity. And then when you went to heaven, you took me with you, 1 inch off the earth, where I'm now in you, totally secure with all my needs met in Christ. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, sir. I believe you, sir. I'd love to feel like it, but even though I don't feel like it, I believe it. Thank you, God. And now, Lord, from this beautiful position of acceptance, I just want to offer myself to you here on planet Earth in the Earth suit to let you live your life through me, to filter your life through my personality and out of my Earth suit to a hurting world. Thank you, God. Now, I mean this. I've got my teeth gritted. I mean it. In Jesus' name, I mean it, sir. Thank you, God. Thank you, sir. Amen.